Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Nadine. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am Nadine Sade Gonzalez. I live in Miami, Florida, and I am a lawyer, a writer, a mom, and and just, you know, trying to juggle all those three things, and it's not as easy as you expect.
Oh my gosh. So wait, there's plenty of lawyers who are romance or authors. I'm always curious, like, what was your journey? Like, what led you to write some romance books while practicing law? You know, like, they're
two different things. I know, but you know what? I think that when you have like this one little skill set, which is writing, and a lot of people, if you're going to college or whatever, you're like, well, I like to write, I like to read. And there are a few things out there that allow you to use those skills. And one of them is like, some go into journalism, and other people go into law because it's just a lot of reading, writing. There's no science involved. There's no math quiz to take. So I think that attracts a lot of writers in general, and then those writers are still who they are, and then they splinter off. They're like, while they're in that terrible constitutional law class, they're daydreaming about, oh, I wish I could be writing on, you know, working on my manuscript, whatever it is, whether it is it's a thriller or a romance or whatever, you know, you still have that dream in your heart.
I love this. And so were you always a romance reader, or did that came afterwards after you start writing romance?
Oh no, I was always a romance reader, and it started super young because I think like generation, my mother watched a lot of soap operas, right? So I think the storylines and the plot lines were always attractive to me, right? And then I grew up in, I was born here in New York, but then my family moved to Haiti, and there, like the Harlequin Presents novels are very, you know, they're ubiquitous, they're everywhere. And we're talking about the French translations of the Presents, mm-hmm. the Harlequin Presents line, and some of the other lines too, but the Presents were like big and they were everywhere. And if you were 13 years old and you wanted to read something that was kind of taboo and your parents didn't approve it, like that was the go-to. Girls were swapping them in class, etc. So I got into it that way, and I think I can swear that I spent like 3 years of my life just like burning through romance novels exclusively, not reading anything else, like 14 15 16, I think those were the years that I devoted my life to romance novels. And then I moved on, and but the foundation was there, you know.
So what is like to write now for Harlequin? What's it just like, full circle? Like,
it is writing... full circle. I can't believe, sometimes I'm like, wow, all those years I was preparing for this, like it was like laying the foundation, like I said. And that is a kick for me. So when I see my name on their website or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, it's I'm a really good author. I can't believe it. Also, it's really fun because you're writing your daydreams, basically. Mm-hmm. And so you're just writing your daydreams, and you're allowed to do it in a way that's glamorous and that's just over the top. And, you know, you don't have to like pare it down or censor yourself. So it's fun.
So you have a series called Scandal in the VIP Suite and What Happens in Miami. Tell us a little about the series. Like, what can we expect?
Yeah. Well, in my, like, I really wanted to have a series set in Miami showing like all the big events that happens here. Like, and so that's kind of the underpinning of the series. It's called Miami Famous. And the reason for that is because I am trying with each book to showcase a different industry. So in Scandal in the VIP Suite, it is the film industry. And it ends with the Miami Film Festival. Mm-hmm. It's not like a heavy-handed, but it's there. Like they're attending the Miami Film Festival and there's a scene, a pivotal scene occurs there. And in what happens in Miami, it's Art Basel that happens every year, international art show. Celebrities come down to party. It's one big glamorous glittery affair. And I thought, okay, let's put that into, you know, let's do that. So and next to the next book, we'll have the Food and Wine Festival, the Miami Beach Food and Wine Festival. Yeah. So, and with celebrity chefs, of course. So there'll always be an element of celebrity, of locals, a big event, and how everything comes together.
I love this. And so let's chat about writing for the desire line. Is there any specific things that are required? I know the word count is important, but other stuff that are required to write for the desire line that it might be different from other category romance that you experience?
Yeah, definitely. They are very clear about what they are looking for in the desire line. And they do not want a timid romance. They want something that has these great big hooks, they call it, like we want the hooks. Basically, it has to be, it took me a long time. I'm like, well, like, what is it? Like, how do I present it in a big way? They want big stories, not small, quiet stories, the girl who meets a guy. So it would have to be like, you know, if he is an athlete, well, he's at the top of his game. And if he's a chef, well, he's not the chef at a corner store, you know, mom and pop restaurant. He is the chef. He has a big internet following or something. Like, he's big. They really want big characters, big personalities, over the top scenarios, glittering backdrops. They just want it all. They want it all. And you have to deliver on this or else the book doesn't get the green light. It doesn't.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Yeah, I can see it's this our line to be over the top, big, big greens, big stuff, big creators. So big. It's very glamorous. Like the books are so glamorous. The covers are like, you're like, okay.
The covers are like, whoa, what's happening? It's, you know, like sometimes I'm like, could they be like you know, casual? No, like on the cover. Yeah. Like, no,
they're dressed up. They're all dressed up and to the max.
Yes, they're dressed up and they're heading out on the town somewhere. So I'm like, okay, that's the brand.
I love this. So what has been the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been any easier, any harder?
The pandemic brought lockdown and spending a lot of time at home. And, you know, I follow other writers and I understand that there's a mixed bag of reactions. Some people were like, how do you write in a pandemic? And they repeated that over and over again. How do you write in a pandemic? But for me, writing had always been like an escape from reality. Like, that's true. Even when I was young and writing, what I understand to be now was like maybe fanfic, you know, something that was inspired by something else and just my little notebook or whatever. And I just reminded myself of the fact that writing has always been your little time to daydream and, you know, escape to a fantasy world that does not exist, where rules of logic often do not apply. So we're going to use this time and we're going to enjoy ourselves as we write and use it as an escape. So I did that and it worked out. It turned out great because I produced, I wrote a novel for Desire and turned it in, and it all worked out for the best during the pandemic.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. I think sometimes like you're writing these stories, you can escape from a life where it's like, there's no anxiety. There's no like real issues. You can, especially with a desire line where it's like big stuff and like big money and big characters and big love, you know? So it gives you a break from the reality of it.
Exactly. I used it as a break. Like, don't think of it as a chore. Like, oh, the pandemic is so depressing, and it is. So don't focus on that. And write your novel, make it as fun and frothy as you want it to be. Just make it a dream escape for yourself.
Yes. Oh, I love it. So what has been a book that you read this past year or last year at some point that you recommend our listeners to pick up and add to their TBR?
Okay. So I think this is a book that it's not a romance, but I really liked it. This is Infinite Country from Patricia Engel, right? Yeah. Oh yes. Well, Patricia's a Miami writer, and I actually took a little mini course with her, a little writing class back in the day today. And wow, she's a disciplined writer. She is concise and tough. And when this book came out, I picked it up. It's a Reese Witherspoon pick, book club pick. So I picked it up, read it, and I thought, oh wow, she did an excellent job with it. I love it. And it's about immigration. It's about people coming to the States and leaving a country behind, and all the things that, you know, we can understand are difficult and from everybody's point of view. So it was really nice. Another book I can recommend is a romance, and I feel like this one is a sort of a no-brainer. It was Act Your Age, Eve Brown, that I read recently from the trilogy. I really love that trilogy. I thought that last book was super cute, and I recommend it too.
Yes, that's a high heat bag.
Yes. I mean, I feel like I'm recommending it, but I'm pretty sure everyone knows about it by now.
It's so good. But I think as long as people recommend it, because sometimes we have to hear it multiple times to realize, like, oh, that's a book that I should pick up, you know?
Yes. I love that trilogy. Usually, like, between you and me and all the listeners, I don't stick with trilogies or with series. I read the first, maybe I'll pick up the second, then you're like, there's just so much out there that you get distracted. And this one, I actually went through it and religiously, and I loved it. Yeah.
Oh, I love this. So tell us where you find you online.
I am at nadine-gonzalez.com. And there you can find all the links to my socials. I am most active on Instagram, which is @_NadineGonzalez. I love photography. I love taking pictures, and I love sharing there. So that's where I'm most active.
I love this. Thank you, Nadine, for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The Watch Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.